Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have another beautiful morning out here this morning that God has given us. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive and so that we can understand as he gives us the revelation and the truth of this your word, Father, so that we can use it to help others and ourselves along the pathway of righteousness. Until, Father, we find our way home there in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the last chapter of 1 Timothy, which is the sixth chapter. All right. Here in verse 1, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. You see, he's speaking of doctrine again here also, because surely by now you are understanding that the only doctrine you and I are to be concerned about is this one we hold in our hand, the word of the living God that has been recorded by the apostles as it was given to them by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And it is known as the apostles' doctrine. Now, we have a denomination doctrine out here that goes by that name. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about his doctrine, this Holy Bible. This is the one we are to teach and to preach, because if we preach any other, then we're cursed. That's his word, not mine. That's his. We've already studied that once. But here, just in the last couple of days, we have seen this word doctrine used many times, letting us know this is the doctrine, this is the only doctrine that we are to teach. And just the way it's written, we're not to take it and take it apart and add to and subtract from it to make it say what we wanted to say, which is what a lot are doing today. We are to keep it as it is. Now, you know, those servants that he's talking about here are slaves. In that day and time, they had slaves also. But he's giving instructions to the slaves, even of their unbelieving masters, that they are still to serve him as if they were serving the Lord God. And here in verse 2, he goes on and he tells them, he says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, you see, this is to go both ways. Those that are serving their masters are to serve them as if they are serving God. The masters are also supposed to deal with these servants as them being brothers. Especially the masters that are believers are Christian. They are to look at their servants as being brothers and treat them as such. It's a long way from the way usually things work, isn't it? Now, 3. He goes on telling Timothy here, says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That consent, that means that one does not agree with or adhere to the wholesome words, as he's talking about there, even the words of our Lord. But they are to be teaching that are sound, correct, and promote spiritual health and doctrines which is in according to godliness. That doctrine leads to godliness. Think about that. You know, we just don't take enough time in reading the Bible to get the understanding that we should get from each of these verses to really understand what is being said and telling us how to live. Now, you see, he's telling those that are in charge to treat those that he is in charge of as brothers. And he's telling those that are under him to treat him the same way. And they are to do whatever it is their work consists of as if they are doing it unto God. Now, but we are to give our best at all times and not so much for worldly profit as we are to lay up our treasures in heaven. And we do that by being obedient unto the word of Almighty God. Think about these things. Now, he is proud knowing nothing but doubting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, by perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supporting that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. We are told to withdraw from these kind of people. Because you see, those that he's talking about here, they are conceited, understanding nothing, but they have a morbid interest about controversies, and they have disputes over words. And as we are told there in the verse, from which comes envy and strife, defamation, evil suspicions, constant irritations between men, and especially between those men that are morally corrupt in thinking, and that is opposite of the truth, and who suppose that godliness is a means of financial profit. And we have a lot of them out there. The financial profit is not what we should be seeking. We should be seeking the Lord our God. Trying to receive from him what he is wanting of us. And doing that. And not standing around and arguing and all with these men that are walking, that are unbelievers. And that's exactly what he told us here. He said, from such withdraw thyself. Now verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's what we are to be looking for. Because that great gain is our acceptance into the family of God. And heaven as our home with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to tell us why we shouldn't be just always seeking wealth and profit. And verse 7 here is telling us that. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And that is true. We cannot take anything out. So why is it we want to store up everything we can store up to have great gain here on this earth? And we are letting the things of Almighty God go. And we are not spending our time at church in the Word of God. We always have other things to do. It doesn't matter to most of us how easy things has even been made for us to join in. Like things are today and like with this ministry. For you to be a part of this ministry and join in with the teaching, you don't even have to be present. You can take your phone and call in, or you can go on your computer and go to YouTube and join us. But no, you put everything else ahead of Almighty God. One day, you're going to stand before him, and you're going to hear words that you don't want to hear. And there'll be words that you think right now, oh, I'll never hear them. No, I'm all right. I'm doing the best I can do. I join in every once in a while. But you see, that's not the ways of God. And you go on and believe what you want to, and you have the choice to and choose to live any way you want to live. That's your choice. But I'm telling you now, and by his word, it doesn't matter what you gain here on this earth. When you leave this life, and you never know when that will be, you're not going to take anything with you. It's going to be left for someone else. And you see, they didn't even have to work for it. They didn't have to do nothing to get it. Because you can't take it with you. Now, here it is. You see, he's putting everything plain. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You got food, you got clothes, you have a way to get around, place to lay your head, Be content. And start walking in obedience unto the Word of God and unto Him and what He is asking of you to do. And you'll be surprised what He will give you. And he'll give you things that when you leave and step out of this life, you will be able to take it with you. You'll be leaving it for someone else. Now, 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He's telling you exactly what riches will do. And we know that because we all know someone that has got really more than what they really need. And we see how they get it, how they keep it, and what their life really is all about. Now, you see, there's nothing wrong with money and having money. It's what we do with it. Are you using it for the purpose of Almighty God, reaching out, helping others, and helping to build the kingdom of Almighty God? Now, you see, it's not money that's wrong. Here's verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's that love of it that causes the trouble. Money can be useful. Money can help us get the word out further and further and further. We can use it to help others that are in need of food, of raiment, of a place to lay their head, and to help those that are trying to come out of darkness and into the light. You see, it's what we do with what God gives us. And if we are following Him and His way for you and I, we'll be doing the right thing with it. 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Oh boy. He says, follow after. Think about it. That he's telling you and I to pursue it. Righteousness. You know, that leads us to living in correctness and conforming to God's will in one's thinking and in the way we are acting and living our lives. and godliness. That is you and I walking with proper reverence and obedience to God. And we all know that faith is our trust in God. That should be growing stronger and stronger every day. And we know what love is all about. You know, that's a maturing affection for God and man. We are to love mankind, all of mankind. And we need to be doing everything we can to help as many as we can to find the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help them in their walk of life. For them to continue to gain in righteousness, to gain in truth, and in the ways of Almighty God. Now, here in 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, that good fight consists of our daily struggle with sin to keep it out of the Christian life, and the hardships and adversities in the ministry. Think about it. You know, when it comes to being a believer and being a true believer, they demonstrate the reality of their faith by being engaged in the warfare that is between evil and good. And there is a warfare going on, and will be until the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth to set up his thousand-year millennial reign. You know, he's also talking there about laying hold on the eternal life. But you know, to lay hold on eternal life, that lets you and I know that that believer, he possesses already spiritual life. And it speaks of fully realizing that salvation as the believer matures. Think about it. We've heard a lot this morning that most of mankind are not doing today. Most of it. They're walking contrary to it, and yet they are calling themselves Christian, children of God. Well, what's the word saying about them? Now, 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those two verses. In the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, he's born. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, Pontius Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with him. Wanted to turn him loose. Goes on in now to 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot. Don't let sin into your life. And if you are a born-again child of God, you cannot let that sin in. Oh, now, Pastor, now, that's just not true. There ain't nobody that can live without sin in their life. Well, we'll be getting into that later, so I'm not going there again today. But if you want to find out about that, go to 1 John chapter 3 and read it. You'll find out that if you are a born-again child of God, you cannot sin. Now, so if you got sin in your life, don't tell me you're a child of God. 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. When he comes, that's what we're going to see. He'll be the only potentate. And he'll be the King of kings and Lord of lords. Only has immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. And he ends with amen. And that ends that verse 16 with amen. All right, now 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And the way we enjoy it is by using that riches according to the Lord and his way, doing with it what he wants us to do with it. And if we do that, we will be filled with joy. This ministry, we reach out to help others and to help even other associations. And in doing so, it does bring joy to me. It gives me joy in knowing that we are helping some that cannot help themselves. And we know that when you help someone that is really in need of help, it makes them then become a lot easier for them to believe in what we tell them. Now, they may not know that we are the ones helping them. But when they hear the word of God, they know that somebody has helped them that loves the Lord God. And that God loves them. You see, that help works in many, many ways. Now, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willingly to communicate. You see, that's what it's all about. 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You want eternal life? Then walk in obedience unto the Lord God and His word. Now, 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition, a science falsely so called. He's warning Timothy about keeping these things, walking in trust to all of them. And he's warning him against arguments and things that way. We don't need to be arguing with unbelievers. You give them the word and let it be that way. You give it to them, leave them with thoughts to think about. And walk away. Don't stand and argue with them. Now, 21. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. We have now finished with 1 Timothy. And God willing, next time back in to the New Testament, we'll be going in to 2 Timothy, which will be this evening at 6 p.m. And then come morning, we'll be back in the Old Testament again. You see, we're going through the Bible. We've come a long way. We've been through the four Gospels. We've been through the New Testament all the way now to Timothy. We have read through Revelations. And in the Old Testament, we've been through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and all, and we're in Deuteronomy right now. And we are learning how much of the Old Testament really has things for today. You know, there was a time that we really didn't believe the Old Testament had anything to do with today. But it does. A great many, many things pertain to today. All right. Now, all that can be with us this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll be back in to the Word of God, and we'll be back with the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a time and place that we can come together to share your word, to learn more about it, and to learn more about how to walk according to your will and your way in our lives so that we can make heaven our home. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for those. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Protect them, Father. We know that they are having rocket after rocket after rocket come into their land, causing destruction and death. We know, Father, that there are many enemies around them. Keep them safe, Father. Be with them. We know you are, because we know, Father, that they are your people. We know, Father, that they are still those that are not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're holding on to the Mosaic law. But, Father, we pray that one day they will all accept the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, this land of ours that has brought so much evil upon its people and taken Jesus out of everything and every place that he was in. They've turned our country, Father, upside down. I pray, Father, that there is your people that will all come together from this election and remove from office those, Father, that is against you and against your church and against the Lord Jesus, and those that have brought all of this evil upon the people, that they be removed from office, Father, and replaced with that love you, that love the Lord, and want to bring this land back as it once was. And that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for all of those that will hear this message or are sick, we know, Father, that they are healed. If they will claim it, receive it, stand upon your word, that by his stripes we are healed. The healing has been given. Accept it. Believe it. Accept it. Hold on to it. And you'll see it happen. Father, for those that are walking in darkness in this land, may the Holy Spirit work with us, work with them, and use us to help bring them out of darkness and into light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this ministry, you know our needs. You know our wishes. Put everything in your hands, Father. It's all in your hands. This, Father, is my prayer. Watch over me, Father. Keep me on that pathway of righteousness. Don't let me stray. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. I hope you'll be back with us at 6 p.m. this evening, Eastern Time. Until then, may you be blessed by God. Walk with him. Hold his hand, and he'll hold you. Bye-bye now.